Wow. Thank you, KJ, for using your talents. Mama's so proud. Look at that. Look at that. All right, Mama, don't embarrass him. My God. Oh, I thought that was Mama. Oh, that's Grandma. But it is great to be here, and it's so good to be able to have our young brothers and sisters sharing their talents and gifts. So much they have to give. And I hope that all of you who are under 20 are inspired. And if you're over 20, I hope you're inspired as well. What I appreciate is just how KJ has been battling with just being nervous. And I think he's coming to the point where he understands it's not about him. God has given him a talent and wants him to use it for his glory. So whatever talent you have, I pray that you'll be inspired to use your talents, your gifts, your abilities for God's glory. And so really, really thankful. Our young, the next generation is one that we need to look to and be inspired by and to mentor, to learn from, etc. So we love this church. The origin of it really started in campus ministry. And so many of you, and myself included, were converted, became Christians in our college days. And we have another announcement that we wanted to make today. Carlo Jacques, stand up. Carlo, he is a brother, young man, a freshman at Florida State. And we have been spending time together. And just an amazing young man. He was baptized in April of last year and came to FSU. And what I really appreciate about Carlo is his humility. He realized that, you know, I was baptized, but I need guidance. I need help in how to grow from here. And he's just been so humble and so just eager to learn. And he is going to be placed in membership today. At our church and our campus ministry, so I want to welcome Carlo. You know, one of the things that we talked about was, you know, don't let age get in your way. You are a part of this body. You're a vital part of the body. And so if you see me messing up, you pull me aside. You're a part of this body, no matter your age, your background, where you're from. And so really, really proud of Carlo and so thankful that he can be now a part of our campus ministry. The series that we're beginning today is entitled Follow Me, but it's not a series that we've not already begun. This is a series that we're going to be doing for this Sunday service, the sermons for several weeks. But we've already begun a Follow Me series during our midweek lessons, our midweek time. On Wednesday night, we come together, and we have a Follow Me series. And we have five classes that we break up into. And the first one is Follow Me from Communication to Connection. Communication to Connection. And all of these classes have this core belief in mind, that we want to become more like Jesus. We want to follow Jesus closely. So how we connect, how we communicate like Jesus ultimately is so key. And so we all need to work and grow in our communication, right? And so we have a class from communication to connection. Because sometimes we think we're communicating something, but other people are not seeing that and feeling that and hearing that. We also have coming from gatekeepers to ambassadors. That class is specifically for those focuses on helping people come to faith. We are ambassadors. We represent Jesus. We're here to do that. And so that class specifically addresses that. Then we have from religion to relationship. You know, following Jesus is not about rules. It's about relationship. And so we spend 8 weeks talking about that. And then we have a class called Godly Finances. Jesus spoke about money, didn't he? How do we use money? How do we think about money? How do we be greater stewards of what God has given us? And then the college students and the teens have what we called Basic Seven, the basic core principles about how to be a Christian. how to follow Jesus. So we're purposed and working hard to follow Jesus. We're not just saying, hey, come on Sunday. We're serious about really initiating that and help facilitating this type of growth. So if you haven't been coming on Wednesday, well, we miss you. We miss you. Because it's not just about the teacher teaching. It's about the class being involved and helping. We're gonna have some certificates of completion when we're done. It's going to be awesome to be able to share those memories and growing together, because that's what it's all about. It's about us growing together to become more like Jesus. We are the body of what? Of Christ. Not just the body of 1200 Tharp Street. We're the body of Christ. And so our endeavors are to become more and more like Jesus. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just saying you need to be reminded of why we even exist, why we come together. Well, now, why focus on this on Sundays for a few weeks? Well, I believe many times we are the heroes of our own stories, that our focus is just around us. And it needs to get deeper and wider, and it needs to grow. And our focus really needs to be around Jesus. Jesus is the hero of the story. He is the star of the picture. We're in it, but we're not the star. I know that's shocking to some of you. You say, oh, I thought I was the main star. No, you're not. Jesus is. If you are a Christian, you're saying that he takes front stage. He's number one. How many of you love movies? Okay, what kind of movies do you like? Yes. Braveheart, action, hero kind of stuff. All right, Braveheart. All right, what? Yes. Suspense. Yeah, well, how many of you like thrillers? Oh, yeah. How many like horror movies? Are you a Christian? And you like horror, you're a Christian, you like horror movies? I like them too. What about comedies? How many of you like comedies? Okay. Everybody likes comedies. What about action, adventure kind of thing? Yeah. What about documentaries? You boring people. No, I like documentaries. So I like them. Sci-fi, there you go. Yeah, sci-fi, Star Wars, Star Trek. Okay, bunch of nerds. Okay. I like them too. I'm not going to talk about you. I'm talking about me. You know, when you watch a movie, there's something called a meta plot. And in many movies, you'll see this meta plot. And it usually starts with the anticipation stage. This anticipation stage in a movie. You know, you've been there where you've been in this movie, and this is when a hero is called to the adventure. You have this adventure. And you feel it, you sense it, and then the hero is called to play out this adventure. Then after that, the second stage is called the dream stage. The dream stage. This is where the adventure begins. If you think about movies, you can think about the whole dream stage when the hero has some success and has this illusion of invincibility. I mean, he is the hero. It's a dream stage. He's awesome. He's gonna win the world. He's going to save the world. He's going to save the day. The hero. Then you have the frustration stage. When the hero has his first confrontation with the enemy. You remember those in stories? And you go, uh-oh, there goes his invincibility. He has some weaknesses. Maybe it's kryptonite. Or maybe it's things that the hero just is weak on. And you see, uh-oh, there's a frustration stage. Then there's a nightmare stage. That's when all hope is pretty much lost. When you go, uh-oh, he's not only weakened by this frustration stage, it's a nightmare now. The hero is going to die. The story is going to end. The villain's going to win. The world is coming to an end. It's that nightmare stage. Then you have the resolution stage. Can you picture this in movies? This resolution stage. This is where the hero overcomes his burden against all odds. And man, we are standing up in our chairs and seats. We are so excited because the hero comes through again. And you leave there feeling happy. And you feel great. Because somewhere in that movie, you've identified that that's me. And that's why we enjoy it, because we put ourselves in the hero's position. And we feel it. We experience it. We go through the highs and lows, and we relate it to life. And we go, man, we love going to the movies. All these movies, stories, plots, and many characters appear in the story. But its real concern is just one, and that's the hero. The focus is the hero. The focus is the hero. In Christianity, who's our hero? In Christianity, our hero, Jesus. Our hero is Jesus. The Bible contains so many stories, but they all point to one main hero, one main character, and that main character is Jesus. It really does. The whole Bible, Old Testament to New, points to one hero, and that's Jesus. Too many times, what gets in the way of our stories is a misplaced hero. A misplaced hero. Can you guess who that misplaced hero is? What was that?
Self.
I call him AB. I'm that misplaced hero. I put myself as the star of this movie or this story. And it's not true. The hero in my story is Jesus. Too often I'm the hero of my story. And you know what that puts on me? Pressure. Frustration. Stress. Why? It's too much responsibility. I can't handle being the hero. I can't handle being the star. I don't have what it takes to let the world revolve around me. It's too much. Too much. I never need to be the hero of my story. When you look at the Bible, we see the greatest hero that ever existed, God in the flesh. But let's go through some of the stages of this metaplot and apply it to Jesus. Let's walk through it. Because the Bible is a story. It's an amazing story. The greatest story ever told. What would be some of the examples in Jesus' life, our hero, of this anticipation stage when the hero is called into this adventure? In your mind, what in the Bible is the anticipation stage? If we had to see it as a movie, what would you say? The anticipation stage of our hero. Yeah.
The prophets foretelling his coming.
The prophets pointing to the Messiah, that he will be coming one day. And so much of this world will be changed because of the Messiah coming. Yes. Okay, enter the adventure on our behalf, called by God. As a matter of fact, in John 1, it says he was with God in the beginning. He saw mankind fall. We saw mankind created. He was there when mankind was created. He was there when mankind fell. And he was called into the adventure. Yes.
When John baptized him and then stated, I'll become lesser, he'll become greater.
That's right. That's right. It's setting the stage. John saying, he must be great. And even God saying, this is my son. I'm well pleased. Listen to him. That was a call to adventure. Yeah.
Well, even a little bit before that, when Mary's cousin Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary came to visit her, that John the Baptist started leaping in Mary's womb.
That's right. That's right. Isn't that powerful? I mean, John the Baptist leaping in a womb because of this hero that's going to be born. Amazing. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I love it. It's all throughout the scripture, this anticipation stage of the hero coming to rescue his people. Yeah.
Here am I.
Yeah. You know, you read it, and if you know the story, you go, wait a minute, this is setting the stage of this hero coming. His birth was miraculous. His birth was miraculous. It's setting the stage. When he started his ministry, it's setting the stage. Jesus at 30 was getting ready to go and start his ministry for 3 years. He was born so he could die. Setting the stage, this anticipation, this hero coming. What about the dream stage where the hero has some success and there's this illusion of invincibility? What scenes come through your mind when you see this dream stage where he is, yeah.
The crowd following him, miracles.
The crowds following Jesus like no one before. The miracles that they saw and experienced. When Jesus, the first one, turned water to what? To wine. We go, uh-oh, here comes the hero. What else? What do you see? Yes. Yeah, yeah. Feeding 5,000-6,000 men. Not to mention women and children. I mean, the miracle upon miracles, people in awe, healing all different types of diseases. Yeah, John. Yes, yes. Absolutely, going crazy. Yes, Mary. That he stole yours? Wow, okay, all right. Yes. Yeah, when he overturned the tables. Oh, just teach him. Okay. Yeah. I mean, they would say no one ever spoke like him. I mean, he would refute them, and nobody would have anything to say. They would all go, oh, well, you know, all they could do was get mad when he overturned the tables. When he said, you know, get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market? I mean, this is a guy who messed with their money. And walked out of there unscathed. Yeah.
Jesus is conquering nature, walking on water, and telling the wind and the waves to stop blowing.
Yeah, walking on water, telling, not only predicting the weather, but changing the weather. I mean, if you were in that boat, you'd be like, oh my gosh, this is the true hero. Yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, the way that he changed people's lives. I mean, this hero was amazing. He was definitely the Messiah. Now, unmistakably, they thought, well, some people thought, well, he's going to overturn Rome. It's going to be for our good here on earth. But this hero had a bigger plan, a bigger mission. Now, also, when he comes to the frustration stage, everything was great until, what is that frustration stage? What do you read about in the scriptures where it comes to this stage where, uh-oh, the hero's getting in trouble? What do you see? Yeah. Yeah, when they started talking, wait a minute, this fellow's trying to make us guilty. He's blaspheming. Something's going on. We don't like the way he's sitting with all these unclean sinners. They started talking. About the hero, started stirring up trouble. Yeah. Yes. Yes, absolutely. It was getting dangerous. Yes. Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, when you get to the story and you have your followers following him, and all of a sudden they're experiencing all these miracles, and then they still don't believe. And he's going, are you still so dull? The plot starts to thicken then. You go, wait a minute, people are kind of, even his own followers are kind of doubting at times. And maybe you're sitting in the audience going, uh-oh, this invincible Jesus is kind of now, things are starting to get a little rocky. What happens when they start talking about him, trying to stone him, trying to set him up with the local government to accuse him of blasphemy? They wanted the Jews to deal with him. Finally, that comes to fruition, and then all of a sudden, they start slapping him, flogging him, cursing him, hitting him, and then finally crucifying him. That was a tough stage in the movie, wasn't it? Could you imagine being the 12 that were following him and saying, uh-oh, it's taken a detour. We're at this stage, this frustration stage. Then it gets to the nightmare stage when he's on the cross. All hope seems to be gone. Maybe there's a little hope. He's on the cross. Maybe he'll just rip himself down and come on down and now save us. And then he breathes his last breath. And he says, it is finished. And I'm sure the 12, you'd have been there, you'd have been like, yes, it is finished. And not only did my hero die, those that are following the hero, those that are closest to the hero, us, we're going to be killed too. That was a very dark time. A nightmare stage. Dead. Buried. For 3 days, that was a three-day nightmare. Think about it. And then we have the resolution stage. The hero overcomes his burden against all odds. Resurrection. I've got the power. Resurrection from the dead. Could you imagine what the 12 were feeling? The excitement. And Jesus appears for over 40 days and talks with them and prepares them. This resolution stage, the victory is won. Now we can leave the building. How do you feel like they left the theater? How do you feel like they left that experience with Jesus? Confident, courageous, hopeful, faithful, resolved, bold. The apostles felt all this and more. Our hero is truly a hero. He's an eternal hero. You can't kill him. You can't knock him down. He's the savior of the world. And we're willing to die for his name. See, that's the story. That's the story that every Christian should be able to tell. That's a story that every Christian should be able to follow. The story wasn't enough for them. Jesus wanted them to have a few more reminders of this story. He wanted them to follow him even though he wasn't with them physically. He said, I want you to carry on this story. Tell it. Live it. Follow me. Even though I'm no longer with you physically. This is what he told the 12. He wanted the story to keep on going. You know, like, oh, a good old police academy film. How many police academy films did they have? Like 10? They wanted it to keep on going. I mean, good gracious, police academy 23, you know. Keep on going. 2,000 years later, he wants the story to keep on going. And now we're a part of that. We're carrying on this story. We are now his followers. What an amazing, humbling place to be. You see, Jesus gave them a purpose. What was the purpose that he gave his followers? What purpose was that? Who could tell me? We know it. We talk about it all the time. Yes.
Was to go and make other followers.
Nuh-uh. Close. What's the purpose? What purpose did he give them? Remember? The greatest commandment. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He said, this is the purpose I'm giving you. It's the greatest commandment a man or woman could ever receive and live out. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor, the greatest purpose. He said, when you follow me, I'm giving you this purpose. He also gave them a mission. What was their mission? Spread the gospel, spread the good news, tell the story, relive the story, spread the story. It's amazing. We've read the scripture many times. We said, we referred to it in Mark 1:17. Jesus says, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. He called fishermen to fish for people. For people. He said, this is now your mission. Fish for people. It's now your full-time mission. You know, some of us are full-time in the ministry. Others of us do ministry full-time. Some of us get paid to do ministry. Others do ministry full-time. Come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Whatever Jesus has in mind for his followers to do, he will make his followers fit to do it. He's like that personal trainer. He says, you come follow me. I'll make you fit to fish for men, because right now you're not. Now you're a good fisherman. You can fish for fish, but you can't fish for men. You follow me. I'll teach you how to have impact on mankind. He gave them a purpose, and he gave them a mission. He also gave them a person. He gave them a person. I told you he's the greatest trainer. He gave them a person in the Holy Spirit. John 16:13-15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, and this is after he's talking to them about him leaving and going, and he'll send the Holy Spirit. They're like, what are you talking about, Jesus? They didn't know. They didn't know the whole story. They were still in the first couple stages. They were excited about him being the Messiah. Then he goes, wait a minute now, when I leave, I'm going to send something back. I'm going to send someone back for you to help you in this endeavor, to help you to fish for men, to help you to follow me. And so he sends a spirit. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known, will make known to you. What a comfort. What a resource. The Holy Spirit. I don't know if they understood what he was fully talking about, but they had to watch a few more episodes so they could understand. Too often we can miss the blessings of God because we're leading rather than following. We're ahead of the Spirit instead of being with him and following him. Because the Spirit leads us into the will and the ways of God. We have to listen. We have to be humble. We have to be great followers. Practically, what does this mean? Keeping in step with the Spirit. I know we always talk about being practical. And so I want to make up a word called spractical. It's how do you spiritually live? How does being spiritual really work out, live out? How do you live out your spirituality? How are you spractical? Look it up. It's not there. Doing what Jesus would do. Thinking the thoughts that Jesus would think. Feeling what Jesus would feel. God's Spirit helps us in these endeavors. Practically, did Jesus use vulgar language? Do you? The Spirit can guide our tongues if we follow Him. Did Jesus lust? Do you? The Spirit guides us into all truth. And that truth is God has given us our bodies to be honored, to be admired, to be respected. And so when Jesus says to look at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery with her in your heart already, there's an issue. The Spirit says this is reserved for marriage. I don't have the right to just look at a woman lustfully. She's not mine to look like that. Oh, you can respect somebody's physical nature, but when you go far as to claim it and desire it for your own, and it's not reserved in marriage, the Spirit says you're moving in a different direction. Did Jesus gossip? Do you? Do you? The Spirit can guide our tongues. The Spirit can guide our eyes, guide our mouths. Did Jesus hold bitterness inside? Do you? The Spirit guides our emotions, can guide, if we allow Him, our emotions. You got to ask yourself, and I ask myself this every day, are these the actions of a person? Are my actions the actions of one who is led by God's Spirit, following Jesus in a practical way? The following endeavor is tough for us all. We need Jesus' example. We have too many examples in our world that don't come close to Jesus. Whether that be in our families, in our communities, we need Jesus' example. We need a hero in the story. We need the Holy Spirit, our counselor, our guide, our comforter. Can't do it on our own strength. No one can. We also need one another. And that's why independent Christians never really grow. There's no such thing as an independent Christian. A Christian is dependent on God's Word, dependent on the Spirit, dependent on other people. If you have problems with people, you're going to have problems following Jesus. You know, people go, oh, Christianity is great, church is great, except for the people. Well, if you follow Jesus, you learn how to deal with people. Because guess what? You're a person too. And you got problems too. And people have to deal with you. I know that's shocking to some of you. You think you're perfect. You're just deceived. We all need each other. We all need each other. So, how well are you following Jesus? Is the question I want you to ask this morning. How well are you following Jesus? Is His purpose a priority for you? The purpose that He's assigned. Is loving God with all your heart, mind, is that your priority? And loving others as yourself. The Bible says it's the greatest commandment ever. Is the greatest commandment a priority to you? Is it priority number one? Does everything fall under loving God with all you got? Is His mission bringing others to faith, being an ambassador, is that a priority for you? Is that something you want to grow in? Is that something you look to others and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to help you to bring others to faith? Or do you just come to church for you? Or do you just live for you? If you were a follower of Jesus 2,000 years ago, He would be guiding you to helping people to come to faith. But he's still doing that today. Are you allowing him to do that? Let's get practical. Is that a part of your life? Oh, we can get busy. We can get overwhelmed. I know. We all have challenges. But are you being guided by the Spirit, the counselor, the guide, the comforter? Here's one of the keys, I believe, to following Jesus. For me, one of the important keys. It's getting to know the who. It's drawing closer to the who of the story. I have to draw closer to the who, and that being Jesus. Once you draw closer to the who, then you can learn about the what's and the whys and the when's and the where's. And so that's why we're focusing on the who. We're going to spend several weeks focusing on the who of the story. You get the who, you'll get the what, you'll get the why, you'll get all the practicals of how to live out your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus. So for the next several weeks, the who of the story, the who of the story is who we'll focus on. Let us go to our Father in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for coming down on this earth to live and to die, to show us who a true hero really is. And Father, we pray that we would all rededicate our minds, our hearts, our souls to following our hero. I pray, Father, for those in this room that don't know you, that don't know the who. And Father, you'd work in their hearts and allow them to come to a realization of their eternity. Father, our eternity depends on how well we know Jesus. It's all about knowing him. And Father, I pray that that will be what our church will grow to, focus on, become more and more like your son Jesus. Father, forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of our distractions and our excuses. Father, help us to be humble before you. Help us to be sensitive to your Spirit. Help us to be, Father, just aware and focused on your son and the way that he lived, the way that he sacrificed, and even the way he died. Help us to live a life worthy of the calling we've received. We love you. We thank you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Hope you enjoyed the popcorn and all the pleasures of this movie.